another episode of Civic Bants. Civic Bants is a podcast brought to you by Budget, where we discuss issues of grassroots engagement, you know, citizens' engagement, budget analysis, and a host of others. My name is Nancy Odimegu, and we're still maintaining the What's Next series. Recall that I told you in the last episode that What's Next series is going to be with us for a few weeks because the Nigeria elections are over at the presidential level and at the governorship level. So we're trying to figure out what's next for Nigeria. And in the last episode, we talked about what's next for Nigeria's economy. So this time around, we'll be honing in on what's next, looking at it from the transparency and accountability aspects, where you talk about transparency and accountability being a tool for reshaping governance. And I'm not alone. I'm being joined by two gentlemen. I don't know, the last time it was also two gentlemen as well, but this time it's like yes. So I have with me Gabriel Okel. Well, Gabriel is the country director of Budget Nigeria. Gabriel, it's good to have you join us.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
And joining Gabriel is Joseph Amena. Joseph is the lead for Civic Hive. Hi, Joseph.
Hi.
All right, so I wouldn't waste much of your time. So we're just going to go into, first of all, I want you to give me what you think are the issues concerning affecting transparency and accountability in Nigeria currently. So I'm just start with you, Joseph. So what role do you think transparency and accountability plays right now in governance and with where Nigeria is at the moment?
So if you look at the context of democracy and the way we've practiced it since 1989, you realize that in our pursuit for good governance, which is largely the effective use of state power to bring about goods for the society, transparency and accountability has become a major feature of our governance. And in the context of transparency, we've made some inroads, or we've made some ways in making certain things about government much more easy for people to access. So we take, for instance, our budget.
Okay.
We now put our budgets on
websites
and all that,
yeah,
largely because of the activities of a number of civic actors, including budget. Then there's also the important aspect of accountability, how the different aspects of government or the different arms of government hold themselves accountable. We've made some strides in that. But if you look at the context of the last few months, the challenges with how we even manage our elections,
mm-hmm,
and ultimately even the way we managed the economy, precisely with the whole issue about Naira swap, you see that there is massive deficit in terms of accountability. We weren't sure which arm of government was responsible at the executive level, for mm-hmm instance. We saw the buck passing between presidency,
yeah, the blame game,
and the CBN governor,
yes,
and even the National Assembly. And the governors also went into that at some point. So in terms of how we fared with that, we've not done well in enabling citizens enjoy, if we can put it that way,
yeah,
the benefits of accountability and the way it ought to be. So we have massive challenges with that. But in terms of transparency, we can argue to a great extent, because of many of the international framework that adopted in Nigeria, a lot of the subnationals and even at federal level, we now make available a lot of information. But there's still a lot of scrutiny that has to be done with regards to how that information is made available and how people understand it. And that's why groups like Budget continually make this easy for people to understand.
All right, thank you for that. We've not done well, but we are in the process. Okay, I'm going to come to the challenges, but first I want to hear from Gabriel. Where do you think Nigeria is standing currently? And I want you to speak particularly to the importance of transparency and accountability in governance.
Thank you very much, Nancy. When we look at the system of governance that we practice in Nigeria, democracy is the big crux at the center of democracy, social contract.
Okay.
Social contract between those in power and the people. And democracy by its design, right, is a system that is meant to, you know, provide, make, that makes provision for transparency and accountability. And when we talk about transparency and accountability, maybe we should just use this opportunity to break it down.
Okay.
Right? In a democratic governance, certain people in certain constituents, in certain states, will come together to choose a leader,
yeah,
or choose a representative or choose a local government officials. The first thing to understand in that process is that whoever that is in power in at the, any level of government is not there by himself or herself alone, is there because of the trust of the people. So a certain number of persons have come together to say, you go represent us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that social contrast that gave room and gave need to transparency and accountability, because we are saying, because we are sending you there to represent us, we expect you to do whatever you are going to be doing on our behalf transparently, so that we are sure, we know, we are informed of what you are doing. And that is transparency. And then accountability on the other hand is then when we have ambiguity, when we are not clear about what is happening, when we have questions, we want to be able to ask questions, and then you should be able to, you know, respond to us, give us a clearer picture when you know, certain provision has been made for us, either by you or not by you. Accountability is demanding that you ensure, because you are the one representing us, you ensure that this provision that has been made for us come to us. As we know, because of scarce resources, it is possible, it is not all that government budget for or plan for that they eventually, you know, execute. So it is a responsibility of representatives, and I'm using representative now, not necessarily the National Assembly or the State Houses, mm-hmm, of Assembly, mm-hmm, representative even at the local government level, representative as a state governor, representative as a federal minister, or representative as a president. We demand, you know, that what is meant to come to us should come to us, and that is when you are accountable to us. You are accountable to us when we're able to ask you questions and you give it to us. You are accountable to us if you foster, you know, create a system that we don't expect that you will be the one responding to all the questions, but you can create a system that, you know, provide a clarity to any concerns that we have. And that's why we have all sorts of these other agencies of government, you know, that should be doing you know, this work. We have the FOI Act that has been, you know, that is in use in Nigeria. We want to be able to use that instrument and get response, you know. Those are provisions that, you know, democratic government has made for us.
Okay, so I'm going to take you on the FOI Act. I know, or should I say, it's based citizens' knowledge that the government don't like, when you say transparency, when you say accountability, the government go left and transparency and accountability stays on the right hand side, right? Now, this FOI Act, it's the right of citizens, freedom of information. You can ask questions, request, demand for these things, and they're supposed to give you, right? But you find out that after the, of course, there's always a deadline, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before, okay, you can now say, okay, the government have not answered you. But then you see that your 2 weeks, 3 weeks elapses and the government did not even respond to you, right? So that's one of the issue. But then to achieving transparency and accountability is not without its own challenges. So I want us to come to the challenges right now of achieving transparency and accountability with the way Nigerian government. So what would you say are the barriers? If you're to give about 2-3 major real-time examples right now, we'll appreciate that. Are the barriers affecting transparency and accountability in Nigeria's system of government?
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy. I think the critical barriers that we have, particularly if we look at our context in Nigeria, is we are still far behind in terms of participation. Democracy is meant to be a participatory governance system, right? So we are not doing well with participation. If we show up our achievements in terms of getting the people involved in governance, we are going to improve significantly on transparency and accountability. And if we look at where we are coming from as a country, we have moved, right? Today, if we decompose the two words, I can say we have gone faster in transparency than we have done in accountability. And that is, even in transparency, that's on just one hand, making information available. Information is now largely available, right? However, how well is this information that is largely available? This information, does it capture the thoughts and the real needs of the people? So we say today in Nigeria, budget document, budget information is very largely available, particularly at the federal government level. The moment the president presents the proposed budget to National Assembly, less than 48 hours after that, everyone anywhere in the world can have access to download that. Yeah. However, what is the credibility of that information that is available? Does that information capture the needs of the people? Right, we have capital projects that have been planned for. We have, you know, plans that government have made. How, well, what is the process of collecting the needs of the people and ensuring that it is the actual needs of the people that made it through into those documents? So one thing is the document can be available, but the other thing is, how credible is this document that is available and how useful is it for the country? You have a situation where a small village in somewhere in the northern part of Nigeria that hardly have numbers of people that travel out of the village, having a project to construct an ultra modern motor park. And then this is a village that maybe a 2 kilometer access road can actually help improve farmer output, yeah, right? Or maybe a solar system can improve their night economy, can make them stay a bit longer on the farm for them to be able to work more and then come back to their residence safely. But we don't see that happening. We see the need of the people on one hand, and we see what government is doing on the other hand. So a lot has to be done on participation, from the budget formulation stage to budget implementation and even budget audit stage.
All right, thank you for that. So Joseph, from your lens now, what do you think are the barriers?
Well, it's important here to state that political actors and those who wield political power remain very critical to the execution of transparency and accountability frameworks.
Okay.
So the biggest barrier, one of the biggest barrier, is the lack of political will and political energy, so to say, to energize those frameworks. So you find, for instance, if you look at accountability that is horizontal with regards to the different arms of government, how effective has that been? How effective has the National Assembly been accountable in holding the executive responsible or doing the oversight? So there is that political will that is lacking, that deficit. The same thing goes with the judiciary. How effective have they been in holding themselves also accountable? So these layers of accountability are very, very important, but it's all built around political actors and their willingness to do what is right. On the other aspect of regarding the barriers to transparency itself, a few of those things Gabriel has mentioned. How do you generate data, the integrity of the data that you generate to eventually reach, for instance, project decisions and all that?
Okay.
We still have challenges with that. So for me, it's political actors and their lack of
political will.
It dovetails into a lot, and that also plays out even at the subnational levels. So at MDA levels, you also find this also playing out. Accountability is something that is not so tight there. So you find challenges with even where you have administrative procedures that are set, people still go against such. That's why we have, for instance, the situation where the Auditor General, the Accountant General of the country, can amass so much. There's some deficit there that allows people to walk around established procedures to do things differently.
So do you think we have the system, a system that can ensure transparency and accountability?
It's important to again emphasize that over the last few years, we have established strong enough systems, administrative systems at MDA levels, even at national and sub-national levels, to say this is the way we want to go. But what has been lacking is the people responsiveness to ensure that those things stay.
Okay.
So that's what we're dealing with. And we've also not been able to effectively sanction those who violate this.
Yeah.
We've had to battle sometimes with those who have infracted or violated these procedures. Taking them to court can take a long time. Then those who are found guilty and somehow get jailed, at the tail end, you still find some type of presidential intervention.
Amnesty.
That leads to pardon. We have the classic example of two past governors. And in the previous regime, we remember that Jonathan also did some presidential pardon for Alamisia. So again, we are looking at what is the body language of our leaders? Are they willing and open to enable transparency and accountability beyond just the frameworks?
That speaks to the political will that you mentioned earlier. A government that has the will, irrespective of who, be it a governor, a senator, why would you let them serve their time and it serves as deterrent to others? Thank you. So I'm going to come back to you, but Gabriel, you mentioned something earlier that democracy is a two-way street. Maybe you didn't say it like that. It's a two-way street. You know, it's not just the government, it's the government and the people. So let's talk about the role. Where does the citizen come in, an average Nigerian? Where do we come in ensuring or trying our best or attempting to ensure that, okay, transparency and accountability in our government works for us?
Thank you, Nancy. Citizens play a very critical role in a democratic governance. And where we come in is as good as when we start the voting process of electing new leaders.
Okay.
And this last election in Nigeria showed us that voter education have also, you know, improved to some certain level, looking at how well, you know, we turned out, even though the virtual statistics, you know, one thing is the reality we were seeing that, this election, we are going to beat the numbers that we have been doing before as a country and all of that. But we were shocked when the total number of voters came out. It wasn't what we were expecting. We would have thought that we'll beat that number significantly. But we can't deny the fact that voter education had improved. And it's the same way, right? Our energy should not end at voting people into power. As a matter of fact, our energy should start when they come into power, because that is when the real governance starts. Bringing them into power is like a day event or a day or two, right? We have voted them. By the time they voted, votes are counted, and then we know who comes into power. But after that, we have 4 years to deal with these people. We have 4 years in the real sense, they dealing with us in the real sense. If we are not careful, it can be 4 years of horrible experience, and it can be 4 years of a jolly ride, depending on how well we are able to then use our power. And the beauty of democracy is everybody have their own time, right? A politician will have his time when he comes into power to then be able to manipulate things or do well or not do well. But the people also have their power, which is during the election, during the voting process. So citizens' action comes in from first knowing and understanding that during election process, electionary process, is your own time where you have the power to do and undo. So you have the power to vote in the right person that represents your values, that represents the new Nigeria or the new community you want to see. If you fail at that level, it will be difficult for you to
overcome or adjust
and adjust, because you will have to then live with the decision at least for the next 4 years. Because also looking at our space, there is always a comeback. And then particularly when you now look at like National Assembly or State Houses of Assembly, where people can be there for life, right? You can then be stuck with this person for the rest of your life, you know. So we need to play a role, and we need to understand our role in the electioneering process. But after the electioneering process, you also still need to play a role by ensuring that you bring the promises that these elected officials and politicians made, you bring the promises back to their attention. And just like what we do at Budget, sometimes people will harass us and talk to us like we manufacture data, where in the real sense, as an organization, we don't manufacture official data. The data we work with, the data we release to public, our government data, is just that we reproduce it or we represent it to the public in an appealing manner. It's the same way citizens are meant to then hold their elected officials accountable by presenting to them what they promised during electioneering process, and even what we considered, in case they didn't promise, but what we thought that you would do, and we know that you can do for us when we were, you know, voting for us. You bring it back to them and you stay on it. And there are a lot of platforms now that allows, you know, citizens to do that. If we don't even want to talk about our peer organization to Budget Foundation, if you stay on the product that Budget Foundation is releasing, products in research work, products in publication, products in platforms and tech products, if you stay on that one alone, it will give you, you know, a good platform for you to engage and for you to reach out to this person, and I hope that maybe we'll be able to talk about some of those products for the use of general populace. Okay. Yeah,
all right, so I'll give you a few minutes to talk about that, but Joseph, do you think citizens have their jobs cut out for them in ensuring that T&A, transparency and accountability, sinks in our government?
Oh well, it's important to state that as citizens, we are faced with the challenges of grappling with, are we benefiting from the often projected dividends of democracy?
Yeah.
So we face these challenges on a daily basis. And if you use the service delivery frame to look at it, you and I intersect, or we come across these challenges on a daily basis. So beyond the electoral process, we are faced with the challenges of poor governance, bad roads, for instance, poor power supply, schools, and all that. So it means that our organizing as citizens is beyond the election period. It means that organizing as citizens requires us to put our resources together to again address these political actors and those in power. So it means, for instance, if you're in a certain community, even if it's an urban center, and there are challenges with regards to service delivery, the line agencies are the ones you intersect with or seek intervention from, and leading up to the political actors. So if you look at Lagos, for instance, the huge challenges that Lagos is faced with, it requires communities to organize in ways to put pressure on the different government agencies and ultimately the political actors to do things differently. So there's a lot of organizing that is required from citizens, and we can see how that plays out. Citizens are more vocal in terms of producing citizens' videos, citizen assets that they can use to engage at different advocacy level. And like Gabriel said, there are different products and platforms created by budget and peer organizations that citizens can leverage on to engage government. It means also that as citizens, we can coalesce in terms of campaigns that we can undertake that can now be used to graduate even to the national level. So you look at, for instance, how accountable are legislators in terms of opening up the space for citizens to even involve in conversations that will lead to establishing new laws and policies. What level of agitations can we absorb into that? So all this become very, very important. So for me, it's all about us organizing better and making our collective action much more effective.
Always organizing better and making our collective action much more effective.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. So we're already coming to the end of the conversation, but let's look at the consequences now. In the absence of transparency and accountability, where there is no political will, citizens refuse to play their part or are ignorant of their part, like, you know, it's a two-way street. The government are on one end, you are on one end, ensuring you do your own best with the right tools, of course, that you've mentioned, the one Gabriel emphasized on and the one you emphasized on. So in the absence of all of these, now the consequences, how dire is it as a nation for Nigeria?
You know clearly. So if you look at a major issue that we are battling with, security of lives and property, this is a result, a consequence of a lack of transparency and accountability for us to deal with those issues. Mm. If you dovetail further down, service delivery, we've seen how that played out in our educational sector and the long drawn ASU crisis that we had. That's also a major challenge. We've also seen how that played out in terms of provision of health services. And importantly too, the way civic actors and the whole civic space has been dealt with in terms of how citizens are able to agitate. If you take the classic example of the NSAS conversations around police brutality and yeah. police reforms. So we've not been able to listen well enough to society, and government has been irresponsive. So ultimately, this has led to a lot of challenges. So we now have pockets of deficits in different sectors of our economy and in different aspects of our lives, which requires this new set of governments, if we can use that term, mm-hmm. to organize differently and to look again at these issues and to see how best can they work with citizens to achieve this. Because the truth is that transparency and accountability are interwoven and also very linked to the rule of law. And all these three aspects work in a way to reflect on good governance. If there are deficits in any of that, it's not gonna work. It requires a combination of all actors. Citizens have to play a massive role. And importantly too, the political actors must be responsive and willing to manage the different vested interests, because it's all about interest. We the citizens want to experience what we've termed dividends of democracy, but we have to contend with even private actors and all sorts of actors to get around it. But if we envision democracy the way it is, which is built on the rule of law, and we project good governance, all the actors need to work together. And that's why on our own part, as citizens, working from the demand side, we must organize differently, we must organize much more effectively, and we must be ready to put pressure in very decisive ways that leverage on the rule of law to bring about changes.
All right, thank you for that. Gabriel, potential consequences.
Before we even talk about potential consequences, I think we have prevailing consequences, you know, and prevailing consequences is data is showing us, the National Bureau of Statistics released the data on the multidimensional poverty in Nigeria, earlier on, and that data is telling us that about 63% of Nigerians, about 133 million Nigerians are living in multidimensional poverty. And that's saying when you look at different aspects, they are not able to, when you look at education, when you look at health, when you look at ability to feed well and all of that, this number, many are we are just about 200 million, mm-hmm. if that statistics is right, and yet 133 of us are living in multidimensional poverty. You know, sometimes I used to think if I'm part of them too, you know, because you know, and that's the consequence. Another consequence, and not talking about potential, I'm saying consequences that is already living with us, is that up to now in Nigeria we still have up to over 500 deaths, maternal mortality deaths of 100,000 births, which is still very huge compared to the SDG goals of reducing that number by 2030 to 70 mortality deaths over 100,000 births. Nigeria is still doing over 500, and that statistics is huge, it's scary. We also have statistics that says that Nigeria, is not the poverty capital of the world. You know, those are consequences that is already living with us. And I hope that we are also entering a new dispensation of government. I hope that the new government will be able to do something to these scary and very ugly statistics and turn it around for the good of Nigerians.
All right, thank you. So it's like praying and for the light at the end of the tunnel. Mm. So thank you so much. So do you have maybe your last word, just one sentence or one paragraph, let's say like that, then let's take it. That's your concluding paragraph.
There's a lot for us to do as Nigerians. each one of us must be determined to play our role. And we hope that those who wield political power will listen to us and do things differently.
Yeah, let me address the citizens then, and I will address the citizens in the spirit of Japa syndrome that is in the air in Nigeria. Yes, I mean, at this point right now, we can't fault anyone that embraces the Japa, you know, ideology, but all of us can Japa. And for those of us that still believe in Nigeria, let's not believe in it just by the word of mouth. Let's believe in Nigeria indeed. And believing in Nigeria indeed means that you are not just sitting on your couch and watch things happen. You want to be part of what is happening. Either you have a political office to do that or not, you already occupy the highest office in the land, which is the office of the citizens. Use your power, use the power of that office. And I believe little by little, gradually, we will achieve the Nigerians of our dreams.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy.
All right, that's it on today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. We've been discussing transparency and accountability and their role in reshaping governance. And you've heard from Gabriel Okewo, who's the country director of budget, and Joseph Amenao, the Civic Hive lead. And both of them took our time to tell us in detail why transparency and accountability is key to governance, especially Nigeria's government. As always, we appreciate your attention. We love to hear from you. You also can be a part of the conversation. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the What's Next Nigeria hashtag. It's at BudgetNG. And don't miss out on the next episode. It promises to be interesting as well. Until then, it's important that we keep asking the tough questions. We keep participating actively, you know, be an active citizen. And we keep drawing attention to excellent governance. My name is Nancy Odumegu. Do have a good day.